where to put this thing. What y'all do? Switch everything on. And also, y'all, we've got these strange people that kind of wandered in here, this Ernie Tangalakis type person, along with Kathy. Isn't that cool? Yeah. I heard rumor they moved back. That is so cool to me, I guess. Yeah, it's good to have y'all back. It's good to see Emily, too, yeah. It's so good. This morning, you know, we have the blessing and honor to have Pastor Shichko from Croatia and his wife, Maria. She's been here before. I think it's the second time you've been here with us. And a couple of things I want to say, because it was happened really quick, because they were on vacation, and they had this really cool opportunity to come to this conference in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he called me about a couple of weeks ago and said, hey, we're coming through, you know, going to see you. So going, yeah, Paula's in Alabama at a family reunion, and so she missed out, but it's so cool. I just want to share this with you who do not know Pastor Shichko and Maria. Become very, very precious friends to me, a brother and a sister in the Lord, just very important to me. Croatia's become a sort of like a refuge for me personally, and then all the churches there. They started the church in Zagreb, what year? In 1993, and then since then there's been a number of churches that have birthed out of that, what, about 15 churches throughout the nation of Croatia. Probably what I would consider the most significant movement of churches in that region. One thing I want us to ask us to agree with them, they just had a leaders meeting in just a few weeks ago, and the Lord revealed to them, well, they knew this, that there were only 6,000 believers in the whole nation. And what they've asked the Lord is that their movement of churches in 7 years will be 6,000 plus, 6,000 plus. And so we want to agree with that, agree with them, and we also want to participate with them in any way we can to see that birth in them, that birth in their nation. And in fact, be honest with you, one of the cool things, I mean, I'll be going over there in like February. But one of the cool things we're doing is we're doing an internship program in Croatia for 3 weeks for the month of May of 2018. So any of you want to come and participate in this festival of life? And what we'll be doing is having classes during the day, and at nights we'll hit the streets, and on the weekends we'll go to different cities like Pula, Dubrovnik, Split, Zagreb. Many other cool cities within the country. A really beautiful country, really awesome country, awesome people. So say that. But anyway, I know that the Lord has brought Pastor Shichko here at this time for a word for us. It's no accident that he's here. And then the Lord, very seldom do I ever do this with him or him with me, but God gave him a subject matter for him to speak into us. Because they have the testimony of God in their lives and the things they fought, the battles of standing with the Lord in adverse circumstances and situations. So I just want to ask you to just welcome them with me. This guy's welcome here.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. Yeah. I am very happy that I'm here. I trust that we will be blessings to you as you are to us. But I am very happy that my wife is together with me. Yeah. Please come here. I have asked her to share maybe a few words with you, and then, you know, let the Lord lead whatever he wants to do.
Thank you. I just want to say I'm very honored and very happy to be here in your midst. You know, I like children, and I'm so happy to see so many children around.
Amen. Amen.
It means it brings life to the church. We are really very honored also to know your pastor. I must say that he is a big blessing to us in Croatia. And you know, really, I don't want to say some flattering words or anything. It comes from my heart. He is really blessing to us. You know, his teaching have really had impact in our lives. When he started to teach first time about conclusion of the heart, I was looking like this. And it was revelation for me, and it changed me. But not just his teaching, his heart is for the people. Yeah. So, you know, praise the Lord, really, for Pastor Rick. And I was praying this morning for all of you, and I believe, you know, that the scripture popped up, you know, it came out to me, and I just want to read shortly. Oh, just a moment. You know, we all go through many, many difficult situations in life, and many, of course, good situations in life. But how it will end, it depends on our decision and how we look at it. Psalm 16, verse 8, it says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. And we see in these scriptures, you know, two things. One thing that we have to do, and one thing that God is doing. The thing that we have to do, the David says, I have set the Lord always before me. We have to set the Lord always in front of our eyes. Look upon him. You know, he knows the way because he is the way. He always knows the way out of any situation, of any problem, of anything. You know, he can bring life in our situation because he is the life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He's the truth. He knows the truth. Hallelujah. So we have to put God always in front of us because, you know, then we made the right decision and we go the right way. And there is a promise, he's always at our right hand. He's always with us. He will never leave us, forsake us. You know, he's always there, reliable. We can trust in him and he will see us through in any situation. God is so good.
Amen.
Amen. I believe God is doing something very good here. I just want to speak the words of blessing over all of you. And I believe this church will prosper and go forth very, very strong and Amen. Very, very soon. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe God will do something great here in this place. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence in this place. And I thank you, Father, that you have good future. You have breakthroughs and you have great thing for your people. I give you glory and honor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah. God's mercy and God's grace is upon us. Hallelujah. Maria and I, we met first time. We have four children, and we met first time. I was with a group of Swedish people coming from the Bible school, coming to evangelize in former Yugoslavia, which was communist country, and it was forbidden to go out on the street and preach the gospel on the street. But we were doing that, and she was organizing some meetings for us. I never met her before. Another sister gave us her phone number, and we made the contact and we agreed that we will meet at a certain place. So I was coming to this place. As I said, I never saw her before in my life. As we were coming, Swedish people and I, as we were coming to her, I saw her. And I recognized her as a person that we are supposed to meet. And when I saw her, the Lord said to me, this is going to be your wife. And I said, no. The reason I was checking out with another lady if it was will for of God for us to be together. So when that thought came to me, that's why I was rejecting that, you know. And Maria later told me when we get together, she said the same thing God said to her, that I'm going to be her husband. And she also rejected that thought. So for about more than one year, we knew each other, we were friends. She would come to our church to meetings in Dubrovnik, from Sarajevo to Dubrovnik. And, you know, she decided in the time, meanwhile, to go to Bible school. And she was going in Sweden to Bible school, where I also was going to Bible school. And we were in this minibus in Wien, you know, and I turned to her and I said to her, "Do you want to be my wife?" I did not ask her to be my girlfriend. We never spoke about that. I just went straight ahead and I said, "Do you want to be my wife?" And she was bold enough to say yes. It was just like that, you know. I said, "I don't know," and this is the situation. I said to her, "I don't know how we are going to live, but I have one desire in my life, and that desire is to serve the Lord. I believe God called me. I want to serve God with all of my heart." And I did not have any salary. I was not paid to serve the Lord. I just had the heart to go after God's will for my life. And I said, "I don't know what we will eat, where we will sleep, how we will live. I don't know nothing of that, but I believe God will provide." And that's exactly what have happened really with our life. You know, she went to Bible school, and Christmas and New Year was coming, and I had such a strong desire to go to Bible school in Sweden to meet her, not because of the Bible school, I was already in Bible school, but I wanted to meet her, but I did not have money. You know, I was on very small budget, you know, I was putting ends together, living to, you know, with a very small budget. But then I went for the conference, and as I went to the conference, there was time of the offering. And as the minister was speaking about finances, you know, the Lord spoke to me, and he said to me exact number that I need to give to God. And then he said, in the offering, and then he said, "I will give you 100 times more." But you know, in my head, I was fighting this. I did not accept it like from God, you know. I thought, if I give it, you know, I don't have nothing to eat. I don't have a way to get, because I was in the other city, I don't have a way to get back to my home city and everything. And I was fighting, and the minister was still talking about money, you know. And the Lord was witnessing to me in my heart. And in my head, I was fighting, you know. "No, no, I cannot give this money. How can I live without money? I need this money to live just for the food and necessary things, you know." And the grace of God was working on me, and as the basket was passing by me, I just, you know, put my hand in the pocket, I took the money out, and I threw it in, and then I said, "Okay, Lord, now I'm in your hands." And this was the situation. But somehow, you know, I was expecting that God will give me 100 times more. And I was looking, you know, for that to come to me. I was needing that, really. And what happened, just necessary, but 100 times more was much more than what I was just needing for the food. Anyhow, next day, I was in the bookstore, and the lady, a Christian lady, came to me, and she said, "We have here something for you. We want to bless you." And she gave me an envelope, you know, and I was so happy, and I did not know what is inside, but I went to tell it, and I opened the envelope, and I checked out, and it was 100 times more than what I gave. God is faithful to His word. God is willing to lead you, to bless you. And I had enough money inside to travel to Sweden, to pay my ticket back and forth, to buy the wedding ring for her. Engagement ring, thank you. Okay, here it is, you know. God blessed me so much. And I'm talking about finances, and that's what I want to say. This was the year 89. And I can tell you from all the time till now, God was always faithful to us. As I told you, you know, we did not know how we will live. We did not have the salary. I used to work as a chef before, and I had a good salary and everything. But when God called me to serve Him, we did not know how it will happen. And the economy in our country also was not very strong. Even today, it's not so strong. It's improving, it's getting better, but it's not so strong. And we are trusting God on every step of our life. I don't know how it is going for you, but many people inside the church have a fight to understand rightly what God is talking about finances. And they have a problem to be faithful about finances to God. But I believe that is one of the major lessons that we have to learn, how to work out with finances, trusting God that He will provide, that He will lead us, and that He will take care for us. Many people in my country, you know, coming from the Roman Catholic country, they have a traditional teaching of the church that if you are really, you know, blessed and if you are holy and you want to live right, then you need to be poor, because all the saints were poor and they made a covenant, you know, with the church and with the God that they will stay the poor. And if you wanted really to be a saint, you need to be poor. And I don't know, I know that it is not like that very much in America here, but that is in my country, and that is mindset of the people, you know. Saint means poor, and poor means saint, which is really not the truth. God is talking about finances, and God is talking how He wants to bless us in finances and how He wants us to prosper. And I'm sure every one of you knows the scripture, and my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I must tell you that it is true, and it will happen in your life if you will faithfully walk with God. God will always fulfill His word. Jesus came from heaven to bless us so He can lift us from the place where we are to the place where He wants us to be. And He wants us to be, if you will just shortly take a look in your mind, He wants us to be in the Garden of Eden where all our needs are met. And He wants us also to be in heaven where all our needs are met. This thing that we have here and we fight with finances, it's not God's plan. God did not plan it for us. He planned for us to have more than enough. It is His desire from Him. He wants to bless you so you will have more than enough. Many believers inside the church are deceived, and they think that to be spiritual, it means to be without material. It is dualistic view of the world. It is not Christian view of the world. They think that they need to be kind of askets, you know, rejecting everything else just to go for the spiritual truth, for the fasting, for the prayer, or similar things like that. But that means, if you believe it like that, that means you are deceived. No. God wants you to be spiritual, but He wants you also to be natural. He created this world for you so you may fully enjoy it, having always enough and even more than it is enough for you to live. Many people and many churches, because they are deceived, they don't have faith for finances. Many people, because they are deceived, they don't have faith, and they stand for finances in faith. And God wants to change it. I know He wants to change it in my life, but I know that America is a little bit different than Croatia. But I still believe there are many people inside the church in America who are bound in the finances area in their life. And we need to change the way we are thinking. Being poor is not a sign of holiness. Being poor is not a sign that you are really a godly person. That doesn't have to do with each other. We as believers have to move from the street, you know, not having enough or just putting the ends together, to the street where you have more than enough and you are able to bless others so you can be a blessing to bless the others to be blessing. Hallelujah. We had to believe for finances, for God, for everything. When we were in the war in Bosnia. Terrible things were happening there. There are testimonies we can share with you, which I believe would be encouragement for you. But in 93, we went to Sweden. From Sarajevo, we went to Sweden. And we were in Sweden 3 months, and we were able to be and stay there. I was on full-time salary. The church was providing for us the big house to live, and we were they wanted us to minister to the refugees that were coming from former Yugoslavia into Sweden. But we did not want it. Not because we did not love the people. We felt like we can be of greater use if we come back to Croatia, where war was still happening, and minister to the people there. And we made decision that we will go there, that we will go back to Croatia. We did not have anybody standing with us, any finances whatsoever, any church really to support us in this desire. But we made decision and we said we are going. And when the friend of mine heard that we are going back to Croatia, he said, come to my office, I want to talk with you. And I went to his office, and you know, he said, you know what, we as a church would like to help you as you go back to minister into your country. And they decided, in that time it was 600 Deutschmarks, that they will send us monthly for us to have and to minister in Croatia. Well, our rent for the apartment to live in was 600 Deutschmarks. We were always faithful to God to give the tithe from all income that we received. So we received 600 Deutschmarks per each month. And first thing we did, we took the tithe out of that. So then we did not have enough to pay the rent. But you know what? God was faithful to us. We were two of us together, and we had the two children. We had to stand in the faith for that, for the money to come in. But God was always providing for us. You need to step out in the faith if you want to obey God. You cannot always have the situation where you have everything provided and you do things because it is you can do it. You know, one of the first problems that we had in the church, a friend of mine, was there from the beginning in the church. One of the first problems we had in the church, we were paying renting the place for the church meetings, 100 Deutschmarks we were paying that room.
Each meeting.
And the thing was, 100 Deutschmarks was a lot of money for us, because average salary in that time in Croatia was like 250, 300 Deutschmarks. So that was the situation. And this friend came to me, and he said, 20 minutes before the meeting, you need to concentrate on the Lord. You need to concentrate on ministering to the people. You don't want to be disturbed in that time. You know, he came to me and he said, Pastor, we are not going to have any more meetings here. We will have it in my apartment. We cannot pay 100 Deutschmarks, you know, each time. And I was looking to him. It was like he hit me, you know. And I said to him, you know what? God said to me that we should have meetings here, and we are going to have it. And it was really a struggle, you know. He did not have faith that God will provide, but God always did provide. We never had the problem to pay it. The next thing I had in my heart, there was a lady in our church. She has a wonderful gift of music. She makes wonderful songs, and she is a singer, and she also plays guitar. Wonderful stuff. And I thought she never did it. We are supposed to help her, you know, to make her first tape. In that time was tapes, not CDs. So we were, you know, going for it, and the team from the church was helping her to record that tape. And this brother again came, and he said, we cannot do it. We don't have money. We first have to have money, then we will go for it. You know what? I told him, you know what? God told me to do it, and I believe as we go, God will provide the money. And, you know, it happened exactly like that. You cannot serve God. And this is so important for you to understand, especially if you want to minister to people, to do something about kingdom of God. You cannot do it without money. Money is necessary, just like it is necessary for you to live everyday life. So money is necessary for the church. You know, I can think of many pastors, you know, when the summer comes, people go for holidays. In our church, usually July and August, we are missing about 30% of the people Where they are on holidays. You know what happened in the summer? Our income goes down. I don't know if it is like that here. But people forget to give the money. And here is the thing. We have the loans to pay, or the others are renting the place, and then they need to pay the rent for that place where they have the church meeting. Pastors are worried how we are going to survive summer. Many people in the church, they don't think of that. But you know, the one that, let's say, he is not paying, but I will say that like that. The one that pays the bills, he is worried how money will come, when the money will come to pay the bills. It is same in your house. You are thinking when money will come and how money will come to pay the bills. So pastors are doing in every church, every summer, every month of the year, they are thinking about those things. And I must say like this. I believe church in my country is restricted by the wrong teaching and lack of faith in the area of finances. God is not able to do in my country what he wants to do because believers are not taught the word of God and they don't have the faith of God for the finances and what God wants to do. You know how many pastors are denomination bound because, and they don't change their theology, even God is giving them revelation, they change their theology, they don't change their practice because they are dependent financially on their denomination. They want to reach, to win the souls. They want to support certain things and do certain things for God. But because they are bounded by the finances, they cannot do it. Many churches are like that. We need to develop the faith for finances. You know, when we came from Sweden to start the church in Zagreb, we did not have any support for the work of the church. And you have to look on God. The first prophecy I received from an American lady in Dubrovnik, first prophecy I ever received, she prophesied and she spoke to me, put your eyes upon Jesus and nobody else, and I will make one of the leading people in this country out of you. That the prophecy was something just like that. And you know, I have to learn to look on Jesus and not look on the people, not look on the circumstances. Trust in God, you know. I will teach the word of God and I will believe that God will provide the money. Now what I will say is very strong, and if it is not 100% truth, it is at least 90% truth. What I want to say, all the churches in my country are not operating from the finances that come through the church inside, but they are operating from the finances that comes from denominations from America, Sweden, Germany, or wherever to which they belong. They don't build the buildings by the money that comes to the church that they serve. They build the buildings or buy the buildings from the money that come from all these different countries and from the churches in their denomination. When we came back to Zagreb to start the church, we made a kind of covenant with God. We are not going to beg for the money from nobody. And then the other thing, we are not going to be dependent on the people. We will teach the word of God, and then let God do what God wants to do. And let me tell you this, we have been able to do something really good, and always I have to say it is by the grace of God. It is not because I'm smart, because I'm not really smart very much. It is grace of God that is really helping us. Our local church in Zagreb became a largest evangelical Pentecostal charismatic church in whole country. Every fourth believer in our country was saved, at least every fourth was saved through our ministry. We believe and we want to see that in the next 7 years we will have, just as our network of churches, we will have more believers Then we today have a number of the believers in the country. And you know what? To do that, you need the money. You need the money. Well, you know, if you want to advertise, if you want to do evangelistic work, if you want to support missionaries, if you want to raise the pastors and train the pastors, you need the money for that. You need the money for every step of the ministry. But we believe God will provide. He was able to do it before, and he is able to do it today. He is Yahweh, Jehovah Jireh. Yes. Hallelujah. His name is Jehovah Jireh. I like in the song when you were singing, there was one sentence. It says he is the God of every moment. You know, his name, Adonai, means that he is the God also of every atom, everything substantial. But he is also Jehovah, which means he is God of every moment. And he will take care of you and me in every moment. All we need is to learn how to trust him. You know, we just bought second building. We were able, by the grace of God, to buy the first three buildings where we have a church, Bible school, and all other things are happening there. That was in 2005. Before that, we bought the first building, and you know what? God gave us favor. We bought the first building for 200,000 euros, and we sell it for 400,000 euros. So that's good. Then we were able to buy these three buildings before, because the church was growing. We needed more space, and we needed space for the children work. And you know what? God provided money for that. No church in our country have done it. And I give all the glory to God, but I must say also this. It was because I was well-trained in the area of finances. I mean about biblical economy. Trusting God, that God is able to provide all your needs according to his riches in glory. He will always lead you, and as he leads you, he will always provide what you need on your way to go. So many people don't know how to really listen to God and how to obey God. So many people are not blessed because they don't have faith in the area of finances. This is what you need to believe. You need to believe that God will provide, but we also need to have faith to do what God wants you to do. I went to Bible school in Sweden. I did not know English language very much. In that time, I was speaking quite little. But I had another problem. I did not have money to be in Sweden. And here was the situation. I had that was 400 Swedish crowns. Now, these 400 Swedish crowns, when I got them, a friend of mine helped me to have a job, and I was working for 1 week, and that's how I got that money. And when I got this money, the boss that I was working for, you know, he saw me, I got this money, and I started to dance, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know why I was dancing? Because I did not have for food. And when you get money so you can have food, you will be dancing also. And I was dancing, the boss said, you like money so much that you are dancing because of money. I said, I don't like money so much, but I like that I will be able to provide the food for me, you know. And here I came next day to Bible school. And I bought some things, and I spent like 200 kroners, Swedish money, you know, for the food, so I can have the food in the home. And here was the situation. In the morning, God showed me a lady from Holland, and God told me to give her 200 kroners. And again, I was fighting. I said, but God, if I give her, I will not have. How shall I live if I give to her? And here was the situation. The Spirit of God was witnessing this to me from 9 o'clock till noon. And at the noon, Bible school was finishing. And from the school, I was running to one job that I was working, you know, at the job where I was working. And all the time in the Bible school, I was fighting like, God, I cannot give. If I give, I will not have, you know. And that was the situation. And when the school finished, I was happy to run out of the school. But still, the Spirit of God was speaking to me. And I was maybe just 200 yards away from the Bible school. And the Spirit of the Lord strongly spoke to me. Go and give the money to the lady. And it was so authoritative that I stopped, I turned around, and I said, okay, I'm going to give her. And I was there in the Bible school, and I was looking around to find her, but I could not find her. I was looking in cafe place, around the halls, around. I could not find her. I asked people, have you seen her? And they said, no. Well, what happened? She came after maybe 5 minutes. She was in restroom, in toilet. And she came, and I gave that money to her. And she said, thank you so much, wonderful, you know. And what happened, actually, a couple of days after that, she came to me, and she said, Shishko, I must tell you my testimony. You know, you gave me that money the other day. You know what was happening? She said she came with 2 children to Bible school in Sweden. And here was the situation. They did not have money for the food. They were just in a similar situation like I was. They did not have money for the food. And she said, I was in restroom crying to God, please, God, I have the children that I have to feed, and I don't have money for that. Please, God, I pray for the money that I need just for the food and necessary things. And she said to me, I just want you to know that really I was praying to God and I believe God was directing me. And when she shared it with me, I was so blessed. 2 things you need to have faith for. First one is to react when God asks you to do something. Like, for example, when God said to me that I will have 100-fold reward from what I gave before I went to Sweden with engagement ring for my wife. You know, I had to have faith. I must tell you honestly, I had to fight with myself, you know, to obey what God was telling me. There was another situation, and this happened before this situation. I told you there was a lady, an actually Norwegian lady, that we were checking if it was will of God for us to be together. And here I was in a conference in Sweden. And Dr. Lester Samral was talking, and he was talking about, and he was raising the money for a TV station and TV program. And as he was talking about that, in my pocket, I had a little bit more than 400 kroners. And as he was talking, the Spirit of the Lord said to me, give all you have. But you know, there was a problem. The problem was I had agreement with the Norwegian lady that we will go for a lunch. And I needed money to pay the lunch. How can I be a gentleman, you know, invite the lady for the lunch and not pay for that? And this was the situation. And the Lord spoke to me, give all the money you have. And again, the fight in my mind was happening. You know, I was really fighting with God not to do it because I will be ashamed, you know, when I go out with the girl. And what was happening, again, the grace of God, when the basket was passing by, I put my hands in the pockets and I just throw it inside. And then I closed my eyes, I lifted my hands, the worship was already starting, you know, and I joined in. And then, you know, something hit me. And I was thinking, what is the English word? Why they do touch me, you know? Don't they think I am worshiping the Lord, you know? That was my, and then again it happened, and I said, they are in myself. I was still not opening my eyes. I was thinking, how rude they are, you know? And then it happened again, and I opened my eyes, I look in that direction, and here was Brother Ezekiel. He is a Jewish man from Israel. In that time, he was living in Norway. And Ezekiel was looking in my eyes, and then he was shoving me down, and I was looking down, and then he had his hand like this. And then he grabbed my hand and put his hand and put, you know, something in my hand. And I was looking at him, and then I put it in my packets, and I continued to praise and worship the Lord. And you know what happened? After the meeting, I went and I check out. It was exactly as much money as I gave for that situation. You know, God will lead you and He will test you in the way. Do you trust your finances, what you have in your pocket, or you are trusting Him? Yeah. If you do not learn to trust Him, you will not be able, you will not come to the place where He can really show you His love and His greatness. You need to have faith when God is telling you to give something, to give it out. And you need to have faith that God will provide because He said He will. Some of you wants to go to Bible school, you want to go to mission field, you want to do certain things for God. You know what? You need faith for that. This is the way I am. But you know, I don't like the way that some churches are operating. They are more operating from the soul than from the spirit. And some people do exactly the same thing. They manipulate the souls of the people to get their money. I will say something strong. I hope you will not be offended. This is the situation. In Bosnia, we have about 500 born-again believers. Now, in last 15 years, in Bosnia, there were 10 periods where they had like 250 missionaries from all around the world coming to Bosnia and ministering in Bosnia. Now, do you know how much one missionary costs per month? Well, you know, they obviously did not do a lot of evangelistic work and bringing the people to the to gospel to Lord Jesus Christ. For more than 15 years in Bosnia, there was more than 200 missionaries being paid from USA, from Germany, from Sweden, or wherever in the world. And they were not accomplishing a lot. This is strong sense. Why they were not accomplishing a lot? I believe there are several reasons for that. But, for me, it was not of God. Why it was not of God? Because I believe if God was in that, there will be much more fruits. There will be much more fruits. But how do people get the money to go to mission field? By knowing people and getting people into soulish realm where people from soul give the money. We need to be given from the spirit, not from the soul. Soul is good. I'm not against the soul. But you know, the people of God will be led by the spirit of God and not by their soul. Hallelujah. God wants us to know, to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Hallelujah. And if we do not recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit, how can we be successful? One of the main things that God wants from all of us is to be the stewards. Right. Stewards of everything that God gives to us. Yes. And if we are not good stewards, we are not going to be well rewarded. Because our reward comes from being steward. Well, steward have to hear the voice of his master. And if you do what your master tell you, if you are faithful in the small, then he will give you a lot of more. And we need to learn to listen to God. When we were in the war in Sarajevo, you know, there was no food. Even if you have a lot of money, it was very hard to find the food to buy. But you know what? We had always enough and even more than enough, and we were given to others because God was providing for us. Why? Because we learned how to operate by the Spirit of God. Even before we came to Sarajevo, when the war broke there, before the war broke there, we were living in Dubrovnik, and God spoke to me, and I did not put it in any context because there was no context. But God said to me, I will take you in the siege and out of the siege, and nothing bad will happen to you if you learn to listen and follow my voice. And when God spoke this to me, I'm telling you, there was no context. I did not know what it was about. But then we came to Sarajevo and we were in siege. And the granites were falling every day. There was a lot of shooting and everything bad happening, you know. But with us, God provided, protected us, and we had the food. Even when we left the Sarajevo, there was food left in our apartment for other people that came in. How God provided? Because we learned to give. We learned to obey God and to give when God says to us to give. There were couple other believers. One of them was operating from the fear. He wouldn't give you even if you would die, you know, not having. The fear was so strong in his life. Fear, not God, was controlling his life. God wants to be God over your life, and he don't want fear to control you. If you will be controlled by the fear, then you will never achieve what God wants for you to achieve. So you need to have faith and not fear. You need to recognize the voice of God and follow God. And this is, I must say so, this is what God spoke to me, and this was in like 85, 86. I don't know, maybe, you know, those years. God spoke to me, I will provide for you everything that you need. House, car, or whatsoever you need, I will provide for you, and you will have more than enough if you will learn to listen my voice, and if you will not let the things take dominion in your life. If you, I will still be your God, I will keep on providing for you. Many people are controlled either by fears or by the things. And God wants to control you. This is a hard word to say, but I hope you understand word control in the right perspective. God wants to be your Lord. When we say Lord Jesus, that is not his nickname, you know. It is who he is. It is who he is. And he is Lord. He is the master. He is the Lord of every atom. He rules the world. And when we say Lord Jesus, he wants to rule your world. We are aware of that, but you know, most of the time we are taking control. We don't allow the control to him. Well, he wants to have an influence in your life. We are his servants, and he wants to lead us. And you know, as we follow him, as he leads us, he will bring us to the place of full blessing. And not, this is what I believe. God don't want to bless you so you will be blessed. God wants to bless you because so you will become a blessing to others. It's not just about us being blessed. It's about us becoming blessing more and more and more and more. And he wants to bless us just like that. So we will have more than enough. And we will be blessing for others to do whatsoever God puts in our heart. Yes. You know, to achieve, accomplish whatever it is desire of God for our lives. And I have in my heart this. I said to Pastor Rick, I have a problem, you know. I could teach and preach probably 10, 15 hours about that. But I wanted to share my testimonies because I am not talking to you from the Bible. I know what Bible says is truth. But I'm talking to you from the experience. Now, since 84, actually, and I can say since 88, when I became a full-time minister and pastor, till now, God has always been faithful to provide, and he always kept his word to us. And as I said, in my country, we are working in the difficult, you know, difficult circumstances, and the churches and the believers were not taught rightly. I said it, I call it communistic curse. This is what I consider under that. We were taught in communist time, the churches and the believers in that time was taught that everything that is from God must be for free. Freely you have received, freely you give. So you come to church and you don't give to church. The church is supposed to give to you. That is the mindset that we have to deal and turn around so we can really do it in the Bible way. And by the grace of God, we were able to do it. And because of that, we were able to build a church and churches that are reaching out to the country to change the country. Each of our lives, you and all of us together, each of us has a call of God upon our lives. We are called by God to accomplish, and each of our lives is supposed to be meaningful. Not just meaningful earthly-wise, but meaningful kingdom, God's kingdom-wise. And God wants to do something in you and in me and with all of us so we can change the world we are living in. But to do, for that to happen, there are several things. You and I, we need to have faith and to trust God. And you and I, we need to learn to recognize the voice of God and follow the voice of God. And one of the best way to grow, to recognize the voice of God and follow the voice of God, one of the main major things to have in our lives is to follow what is written in the Bible. Because if you don't follow, if you don't put to practice that which is written in the Bible, you will hardly learn to recognize the voice of God and follow the voice of God. And if you are not listening to the voice of God, you will be listening to somebody else's voice. It may be your own voice, or it may be voice of your father and mother, or some religious leader. Because whatever is empty will be filled up. So if you don't listen and you don't recognize the voice of God, something else will come in. But when it comes in, it will mislead you. And you will miss the goal in your life. Basically, you will have your life in sin instead of holiness. And holiness is to follow what God is saying to us to do. Hallelujah. So I went all the different ways. And I just wanted really to encourage you, if you will trust God and if you will give to God your finances. And, you know, we said, okay, God, I'm giving you my life. But then we keep the finances. That's not right. When you give your life, you are giving everything. And I want to tell you this. When you give him all that is yours, he will give you all that is his. Some people are missing a lot of from him, a lot of things from him, because they are not giving all to him. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. I have a problem. I have a problem because I have a lot to say and so little time. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, Lord God. I pray for impartation of faith, Lord God, for finances. I pray for revelation. I come against everything, Lord God, that was man-made. Every understanding, every doctrine, Lord God, every attitude that was made by the human hand and which is holding the people from what you want them to have in their lives. Hallelujah. I pray that it will be broken in Jesus' name. Let it be broken in Jesus' name, hallelujah. We just reject it, hallelujah. And Father, I claim the blood of Jesus over each one of us, over our spirit, soul, and the body, Lord God. And we pray, Lord God, that you will reign and have a free reign in our lives from this day forward, Lord God. And I call, Lord God, hallelujah, that your goodness, Lord God, and your love will be shown to each of one that hear my voice, Lord God, because in the way that you will provide, Lord God, and that you will overflow them, Lord God, with your blessing, that they can glorify you, Lord God, for your goodness and your love, which you are showing in practical way in their lives, Lord God. We give you all glory and we give you all honor, Father, hallelujah. Pastor Rick, sorry.
Hallelujah.
That was good.
The thing that I want to say is everything that he said is true. One, because it's the Word of God, but also the reality. I've watched them for a good number of years now living by what he just said. One of the things that always bothered me is that when I went into the Balkans, there was a mindset of Americans Well, Americans, here comes an American. And the whole question is, when I would go, the question was, is what can I give to them? But it's not, it's never been that way when I've went to Croatia. The reality is, when I went to Croatia, the question was, is how could they honor me? And in honoring, they receive of the best of whatever would flow out of me. And so everything that Pastor Shishko and Maria are talking about is reality for their lives. You know, that's the crazy thing is that many times when we talk about finances, it can get distorted because some people have taken advantage of it. They speak it out of greed. I give so you can get, and instead of give so that you can what? Turn around and what? Give. And be a blessing to others. And that's what Pastor Francisco and Maria constantly have lived in their lives. I've watched them. I'm not trying to highlight and glorify them, but I'm just trying to magnify the words that he said are true. One thing that blessed me one time, I was going in and I watched them. They would go everywhere, all over the country. You know, here we'll fight about, you know, not fight. I got to preach two times on a Sunday morning. But I've watched him go and preach two times on a Sunday morning, turn around, get in a car, and go to another city and preach in that city. Where I've watched him, and sometimes they drive to Bosnia, which is like 8 hours, 8 hours, 6 hours, 6 to 8 hours, a long way, let me tell you, and it's not interstate either. And go to preach and minister the gospel. And y'all, many times they're ministering the gospel to 4 and 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Why? Because there are two things. One, they're being obedient to God, and two is they care about those people. And so as he was speaking, I'm just going, Lord, I just really felt like there were strongholds over this body to accomplish the goal, the things of God. Because what does it say in 2 Corinthians 9:8? God is able to make all grace abound to you. And then it goes on to say that you may have an abundance for every good deed. Yeah, and there's a spirit of poverty over this body right now. And there's a spirit of poverty over many of us in this body because we have not been obedient to the Lord. We've been living to ourselves. And so, Daniel's got, you got something you want to add?
Yeah, can we just have the prayer team come up and just line up towards the front, I believe.
And I need to say this, y'all. We, Pastor Shishko and Maria and I have to bolt. They fly out of Raleigh-Durham this afternoon, so I got to drive to Raleigh-Durham right now, so we don't have time to stick around. So if we're leaving, please don't take that offensive. So.
Yeah, you guys, I just think that was a really awesome word. I know it touched my life and touched my heart. So I thank you guys so much for coming and speaking that word. Very timely word. Very, very good word. I think here's the response this morning. I think this word does call for a response. And you don't have to answer this question out loud, but how many do you believe that God owns everything? I mean, if you really break it down, it all comes from him. It all comes from him. And how many of y'all believe that God is in the business of changing the world? Like, he so loved the world, he gave his son. He has a plan to change the world. And here's the cool thing. God says, I want you to partner with me in changing the world. And all it takes from you, there's other things, but hear me out. All it takes from you to be my partner, I own it all, 100% of everything, and all I'm asking is for you to give back 10%. You can partner with me. You can be a partner with me changing the world for 10%. That's just a tithe. The tithe is a biblical concept. The tithe existed before the law of Moses ever existed. It's God's plan for us to partner with him to change the world. He's saying, give me 10%. You can be my partner, and together we'll change the world. And you know what I realize? That for some of you, the tithe is easy. It's nothing. It's something you've been doing a long time. Maybe you've done it since you were a little kid. You don't struggle with it all. Some of you in here this morning probably really struggle with the concept of tithe. You may really struggle with that concept. And I want to encourage you this morning. whether you struggle with 10% or whether you struggle with going beyond 10%, I do believe this. If you're comfortable with your placement of where you give, maybe you've settled. Because I've seen in my own life and in lives of those around me, God has continually challenged you to be more giving, to be more generous, to be more grateful, more thankful. He's constantly calling us out in places of faith to give more, to give more, to give more. So here's the call this morning. I'm not, you don't have to come up front. The front people up front are going to be here for prayer for anything that you may need, for healing, for salvation. But here's the call. Are you in here this morning and you haven't even become partners with God to change the world? You haven't even hit the tithe mark. I'm going to ask you this morning to take that before the Lord. Is that truth or is it not truth? And is it something you're struggling with? It doesn't matter. If you make $100 a year, he's just saying, hey, tithe, give me 10 of that. $10 of 100. If you make $1 million a year, someone help me with my math, is that 100,000? He's saying, give 100,000 of that back. Let's be partners to change the world. So some of you in here this morning, I think you need to ask the Lord, is this tithe real? Because here's the thing, and this is, I'm going to close with this. I believe there's three types of giving, or there's three levels of giving. People give out of need. They see a need, so they give. And you know what I realize? Unbelievers do that, and unbelievers can do that pretty well. There's all kinds of organizations. There's all kinds of social groups in this world. And thank God they do it. Aren't you glad that unbelievers all over the place are giving to good causes? They give because of need. There's another level of giving. It's called giving out of obedience. Maybe God says, give this person something, and you can say, but they don't need it. But God's saying, I'm telling you, and I want you to be obedient to give that. But that's not the highest level of giving. There's a place where we give out of honor. We bless and we give out of honor. It's not just because someone needs it. It's not just because, oh, I have to give it because the Lord told me to give it. If there's another place of giving where I give because it's a joy. It's a joy for me to give to someone, even though they, quote unquote, may not need it. Because that's just what God is like. He doesn't want to just meet your needs. He wants to give abundantly. He wants to give abundantly so that there's more than enough to be a blessed, to what? To be a blessing. To be a blessing.
I remember one time I was preaching this Sunday morning, and I wasn't here. And I talked about giving and that out of need. And this lady walks up to me and says, after the service, and she said, here's a whole bunch of money. The Lord told me to give you this money. And I go, well, I don't need it. And I felt really guilty about taking it. And I said, she said, no, the Lord told me to give you this money. So I said, okay, I don't want to steal a blessing from you. You're going to sow. And I sowed, but I'm going to bless you. I took the money and I put it in my shirt pocket. And so I was praying for different people coming up. All of a sudden, there's this woman that came up, had never been in the church before, and she said, I'm a single mother of two. I cannot feed my kids. I was praying last night that I was the only way I knew to do was go to become a stripper to feed my family. And I said, well, I'm going to ask God to just show me. And I said, well, here's what God says that he wants to do. And I reached in my pocket and I said, here you are. Let you know that he wants to take care of you. And then we ordered some stuff. See, being obedient, not giving, just being obedient. And God does those miracles like that to touch and change lives. So, and we're going to have to bolt out.
So would you guys stand with me? So this just going to stand. And so here's the things I just want to put before you. So the first thing is about partnering with God to change the world. That's 10% tithe. Yeah. So guys, hey, can we all just extend our hand out as they go out the door? Father, bless them and bless their journey. We love you guys. Thank you guys so much. We bless you guys. So just 10% partner. I'm going to put that before you, unashamed and unbashfully, just ask you to really consider that. The second thing, the second place is maybe you've just become really comfortable in your giving. Maybe you've given 10%. You've given 10% a long time, and God's wanting to stretch that. He's wanting to stretch that in your life, and I'm just going to ask that you would ask him, Lord, are you taking me to a whole nother place, a whole nother level? And just put that before the Lord. So I'm just going to pray, and they're going to be up front. So as we dismiss, please feel free to come up front to receive prayer for healing, God speaking something to you that we could pray with you. Please come up front. So, Father, I thank you for this morning, and I thank you that, I grew up, Lord. I know many of us have grown up in places where we've experienced lack. And, Lord, we know the effects of lack, what the effects that can have. And Rick did mention just that there's, on some levels, a spirit of poverty that's trying to come against this body. God, and we know that the evidence, Lord, of your blessing, you're not a God of lack, you're a God of abundance. So when we look around and we see lack, whether it's corporately or whether it's individually, whether it's in our, in our own lives, in our own relationships, our own finances, God, it could be an indicator that something is amiss, something is off. So, Father, I pray no matter where each and every person in here today, whether they struggle with the tithe or whether they struggle with the offerings, God, whether they struggle with giving alms, God, I pray that, God, you take us to new levels. It would be my heart that your people, kingdom people, would be the most generous people on the earth. That kingdom people would be the most thankful people on the earth. That we would be the most grateful people on the earth. And that there would not be lack. That we would have an abundant supply to provide. So, Lord, we thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for this, just a good word. Just a good word for us this morning. God, I bless all these people. I pray that you just continue to speak into our hearts and into our lives what you're doing. Continue to renew our mind. So feel free to come forward this morning. You are dismissed. Pray you have just a wonderful day today as you go forward. We'll be up front here for a little while for anyone that may need any prayer needs. Please come forward. God bless you. Have a great day today.